Hey now, we are getting over, and I am the Silver King, Adam Silverstein, here to lead you through these hard times. Da-da. With a special 2024 WWE mock draft edition of your favorite professional wrestling podcast. That's right, Getting Over is back just days before the 2024 WWE draft, and yours truly, the Silver King, will be joined by vintage Chris Vanini as we do a mock draft picking WWE superstars for our respective brands. This is the fourth time we are doing it in the history of the Getting Over Wrestling podcast, and we are excited this year to bring it to you as a special edition of the show. Not only that, I've told you guys for a couple of weeks now, the Silver King has a notebook full of material from WWE WrestleMania 40. We're going to clear that out today. So a bonus WWE episode for your ear holes, in addition to the WWE show we, of course, published on Tuesday, covering every single thing that happened over the last week across SmackDown and Raw. All of that coming up for you momentarily. But first, allow the Silver King to remind you that the Getting Over Wrestling Podcast
is all about defy.
So please, folks,
stop being marks for yourselves and go back to being a mark for me.
Go back to being marks for the Silver King, for Vintage, for Getting Over. Head on over to Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Leave a 5-star rating on Apple. Take a little extra time. Leave a 5-star written review. If you do, we will read it live right here on the show. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Getting Overcast for episode drops, news, analysis, highlights, all of that good stuff. It's also where you can send us questions and comments via tweet or DM for the show. And by the way, you can also email us, gettingoverpod@gmail.com. Please also remember,
I happen to love the number 5.
And I hope you do too, because for $5 a month or $50 for the entire year, you can become an official Getting Overhead. Just visit buymeacoffee.com/gettingover, sign up. You will get bonus audio, the fastest 5 minutes in professional wrestling, instant reactions to Raw, NXT, Dynamite, and SmackDown every week, along with exclusive news posts on Friday. Again, that is buymeacoffee.com/gettingover. Now, as I mentioned on Tuesday's show, it's been a bit of a strange week in Vintage's schedule, so he will not be joining us at the start of this show, but he will be coming along for the ride for the entirety of the WWE mock draft, which of course is the main event segment of this episode. We're going to get to that. We're going to clear out the WWE WrestleMania 40 notebook.
But I'm afraid I've got some news.
And a couple extraneous items today, just clearing everything up from the last week. Rey Mysterio indicated this week that he doesn't have a retirement timeline anymore. He said he was going to listen to his body, let that tell him when to give up. He said it's feeling great. And it should, because he has gotten a lot of work done. I don't mean work in the traditional sense, plastic surgery, things like that. Obviously, guy wears a mask. That's not what we're talking about here. But for a 49-year-old to continue moving like he moves and doing the things that he's done, I mean, he just continuously seems to be in great shape. Obviously, they've limited the matches that he competes in a little bit more, which is a huge positive. But I've said it recently about AJ Styles, and I'm going to say it again about Rey Mysterio. We always have to be cautious about wrestlers aging out and hanging on too long. And I'm not going to name any names, but there are a couple people that have done that in the past and certainly are doing it right now. Rey is not one of those guys. He does not need to be thinking about retirement. There's still something inside me that believes he might be doing a 3-match series with his son at WrestleMania, the third of which being either his retirement or his WrestleMania retirement. Obviously, we're 2 down. That would be one more left at WrestleMania 41. Maybe they stretch it. They go 4. I also would love if Rey, and I said this, I believe, last week on the podcast, you know, he made a comment about wanting to be a champion again, a world champion again. I really wouldn't mind that. He is so freaking over consistently that if you made him champion and you gave him a 4 to 6 month reign and you put him up against some big time heels, I mean, you're talking about big business that you would be able to do, and he's able to go in the ring. So it's not like you'd be sacrificing the title or you'd be putting on a guy who doesn't want to show up every week. Rey Mysterio is still immensely active, you know, on the program. So I'm going to advocate for that. I will continue to do so. I also obviously believe AJ Styles should win the title one more time Finn Balor probably needs to win the title multiple times, as far as I'm concerned, but at least once. These are three guys who are on the veteran side that, look, the youth movement is great, bringing up all these young talents, getting them involved, all that's really cool. There are still some vets, though, that can do big business for WWE, and I hope those three guys get a chance to prove it. Cody Rhodes was on Jimmy Tronia, I think that's how you say his name, his podcast. He actually provided an interesting note. He said, after WrestleMania 40, the main event after the match, when he got back into gorilla position and then backstage, he didn't get to see Roman Reigns. And his thought process about that certainly wasn't that it was disrespectful for Reigns or anything. He seemed to indicate they were getting along totally fine, of course, during this entire build and the match and all that type of stuff. But he is of the belief, Cody is, that Roman took the fall, walked out, saw that the ball was still sailing, and he felt comfortable just leaving the ballpark and letting Cody run with it. He also said, regarding the pivot in storyline, and by the way, we're still waiting for that WWE Behind the Curtain documentary. I think I've said this previously. The week it was supposed to come out, I inquired three times with WWE. I have since asked them twice more. One time I got no reply. The other time I got, I'll check into it, and then no reply on the back end. So I have no clue what's going on with this Behind the Curtain doc. It'll eventually come. But Cody did say about the pivot that will be featured in that doc, he believes The Rock didn't actually know who he was to WWE fans, like how big he and the Finish the Story movement actually was. And he thought, like, you know, Rock's probably seen clips of the Whoa and him being over, but he didn't realize the attachment the fans had to him. And in retrospect, obviously he did realize that, and they made the pivot and everything worked out. It was a really interesting interview with Jimmy. You can go find it. I believe it's a Sports Illustrated podcast. I do suggest listening to it. And yeah, maybe you'll take something else from it besides those two clips, but those were the two quotes from Cody that spoke to me on that interview. There was a report, I think it was 2 weeks ago, that AR graphics are completely going away from WWE television, with perhaps an exception being premium live events and other special circumstances. Now, that was music to my ears, obviously. 90% of them were shit. We've talked about it before. The big time Bex floating head, odd. Roman Reigns thrusting his crotch in my face, didn't need it. The Kevin Owens, you know, Windows 95 or Windows 98 brick wall, ridiculous. That said, a couple of them were pretty cool. The Judgment Day one was awesome, especially when they would tweak it for each individual character. When R-Truth joined them, that was really cool. Cody's American Nightmare logo, the way the camera kind of goes through it, that one's really cool. And there were probably one or two others where you could say, oh yeah, you know, those worked. Another one that did not work, I'll just remember because it came to the top of my head, Bianca Belair's floating lips, like very strange. But some of them were good. So I like the idea of taking them off TV and maybe using them for entrances during premium live events and being selective with the ones they use. That is always how it should have been in the first place. I will admit, though, it was noticeable, it has been noticeable, Cody and Judgment Day not having them, because I actually like seeing them on my screen. So just another example of production seemingly making improvements. Long term, we'll see how everyone feels. And if you guys have noticed them or not noticed them, I'd be curious to hear your feedback on that. So tweet us at GettingOvercast, or again, email us gettingoverpod@gmail.com. So obviously another big story that's been out there has been Rossi Ogawa and Julia, and the fact that he, of course, got fired or removed, whatever you want to use, whichever term you want to use, from Stardom, and how Julia has pretty much been on the precipice of signing with WWE to join NXT, but hadn't yet because Rossi was starting his own promotion. So the deal is, that was officially announced last week, that promotion will exist. It is called Marigold, and it's in Japan, of course. And Julia will reportedly work both there and for WWE and NXT simultaneously for a short period of time. Then she will move over to NXT full-time within the next couple of months. Now, certainly the front end of that is nothing that we knew about. We've been telling you a timeline for her joining WWE in the early summer. I mean, I think we've been telling you on buymeacoffee.com/gettingover since January, if not late 2023. So obviously not much of a surprise as far as we're concerned. It does seem, according to reports, that there will be some level of working relationship between WWE and Marigold. It seems like Io Sky and Kairi Sane might get opportunities to go work over there in Japan. at various times of the year, perhaps when they're cleared from their WWE schedule. Presumably, one can guess, it'll also be used from a promotional standpoint for WWE to either send female talent over there on excursions, maybe to get seasoning and improve, because Joshi wrestling, in terms of women's wrestling, top to bottom, is generally better than American women's wrestling. And the other way it can obviously work is in the opposite manner. If Marigold has one or two wrestlers that develop really quick and they decide they want to come to America, then one would expect, kind of like Evolve back in the day, Rossi to be able to say, hey, WWE, I got these two women. They're interested in coming over. Evaluate them. And if so, we can help you sign them to a deal. So those are assumptions that I'm making. There's obviously no pressed, finalized, formal relationship or anything like that that we know of. But this is the way that those two promotions can work together. And certainly getting Julia over to NXT makes a ton of sense. I wouldn't be surprised if she's there end of May. I think it's much more likely June into July. There was a report I think I saw somewhere that she's going to debut at NXT Heatwave and challenge for one of the women's titles. You'll notice they mentioned, or WWE, I shouldn't say mentioned, announced the NXT Women's North American Championship, and yet there's been no further information about that. So maybe they set up a tournament end of May going into June. She joins that as part of that, ends up fighting for that title. She could fight for the main women's title. There's a lot of different things that they can do. I would be very surprised, though, if she just like signed up and her first match was a title match. That is not typically WWE. And in fact, it's something that I'm kind of criticizing AEW for right now, what they're doing with Mercedes Moné. I get she's a big name, but the fact that she's walking in not having wrestled for a year and she's going to get a TBS title match is just kind of ridiculous off the bat. So we'll see what happens here, but that is the information that we know about Marigold, and it's semi, not full, really, but not really relationship with WWE. Now, I did mention I had a bunch of extras from WrestleMania 40 week, and I've pared this down. I had probably had two or three typed pages worth of stuff. We're going to truncate it a lot and just go through some highlights. These primarily come from interviews on the Pat McAfee show and Impulsive, the Logan Paul show, during WWE WrestleMania 40 weekend. So let's start with Triple H. On Pat McAfee, he was asked how he thought fans would feel Monday after WrestleMania was over. He said, quote, "I'm hoping it's holy shit, that was the greatest thing ever. People are going to nitpick everything. They're going to overanalyze all of it. There's only mistakes if that's the end of the story." So I think he was spot on. People were literally saying, holy shit, that was the greatest thing ever. And of course, Raw after WrestleMania delivered. On Logan Paul's show, Levesque talked about the introduction of blood and cursing and whether WWE's product was changing. He said, despite the fact that WWE has a PG rating right now on USA Network and Fox, WWE for a long time was actually putting forward G-rated content. So what they're doing now is actually maximizing the PG aspect while taking a couple extra steps when they're able to late in shows. But he also reminded that the more extreme language and visuals, those are going to be few and far between, because the goal is to keep those special and make them impactful when they do happen on screen. This is something we've said for a while. WWE never even attempted to stretch the boundaries of PG, which is a lot more flexible than fans might actually believe. You're seeing that now. WWE has done a really good job of this lately. And obviously, we have no idea what's to come once Raw moves to Netflix in 2025. But just seeing the levels that they're able to stretch PG now on USA Network and even Fox to a degree, it's making the product a lot more interesting. So let's move over to Cody Rhodes. Just one comment from him. He said a couple times that week that he would be a present champion on both Raw and SmackDown. He said he didn't like how the Intercontinental title used to look, so he changed that back in the day. You'll remember he went back to the classic with the white stripe. And he had similar designs on reshaping the WWE Championship. And by the way, calling it the WWE Championship if he was able to catch it. Now, obviously, he has won the title, and obviously they're calling it the Undisputed WWE Championship. So we're taking a big step in the right direction. Now he's clearly a SmackDown superstar, and he's going to go to one roster or the other in the draft. So I'm not quite sure he's going to live up to the first part about being active on both brands, nor should he really, because the other brand is going to have a world champion. But I am curious to see what happens with the so-called undisputed WWE and women's titles, because that redesign of the tag team title, we talked about it on Tuesday's show, it just keeps making me wonder if there's more to come. And while I appreciate the way the WWE title and the women's title have that logo front and center, I do think it's great for their marketing and their PR and all their outreach activities, I do wonder if Paul Levesque has such that old school championship belt mindset that he winds up changing those titles to something, you know, similar, but obviously more modern, Golden Eagle, and then a women's version of that. So we'll have to obviously find out in the coming weeks and maybe months. And lastly, Logan Paul. Not in an arrogant way. He said he doesn't need to be doing WWE, but it's so, quote, fucking awesome, unquote. That's why he has not just done it, but stuck around for so long. Then he said, quote, I don't think I can stop, dude, unquote. And he also said, quote, wrestling is the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. There is no industry that requires the amount of skill sets all in one like the WWE, unquote. His disposition for wrestling, it has been a total breath of fresh air. There is no question that he and McAfee are a few of the reasons WWE is making such significant gains in that key 18 to 49 demo. And I'm starting to come around to no longer like qualifying any opinions about him. Like, sure, yeah, Logan might be annoying to some people, and he might have done some bad things when he was a younger guy. But the past is the past in many ways. And since he's joined WWE, it's been nothing but respectful and appropriate in this arena while he's doing some of the best work in and out of the ring of anyone in the company. And if you want to talk about WWE getting their money's worth from someone, and we don't know what they're paying, we don't know how much of the deal is a trade with Prime these days and everything that's going on. But if you want to talk about a company getting its money's worth from someone, WWE is doing that right now with Logan Paul and Pat McAfee. They have really helped the reach of this product to the key demo they have been going after. And for so long, WWE stayed insulated. And if a celebrity wanted to come over, they were only a certain type and they would only do certain things. And if they did, they'd only do them one time, they'd go away. It's just really interesting the way McAfee and Logan Paul have not just integrated themselves into WWE, but made themselves such a big part of the program where now you look at it and you're like, do I want Pat McAfee off commentary at any point? No. Do I want Logan Paul to stop wrestling? No. I mean, you may disagree with him being champion. I think he's totally fine as champion. You may have a problem with that, but you can't say that you don't want this guy around the product, given how exciting his matches are, how solid his storylines have been. He cuts good promos. He wrestles well. And by the way, he gives WWE a ton of exposure, as does McAfee. So I just found that entire deal to be interesting, those quotes from him. And that is a good way to wrap up all that bonus content from WWE WrestleMania 40 week. The Silver King's notebook is now officially clear. So now allow me to welcome in Vintage Chris Vanini as we officially convene for the 2024 WWE mock draft. As I noted earlier in the show, this is somewhat of the fourth iteration of us doing a mock draft here on Getting Over. We know that you guys absolutely love this segment every year. We get great feedback on it. That is why we decided to do it as a separate episode this year. This is back-to-back late night recordings for us. How are you feeling coming into this draft?
I'm excited. I love drafts. I'm excited about the WWE draft, the NFL draft. This is what, the third or fourth time you and I have done this. When I was a kid, my brother and I used to always do fantasy drafts to in the video game to like just put everybody on new teams. I'm excited. It's been a weird week of work, some late nights and stuff like that, but I'm excited for this.
I don't know the name of the podcast that's out there, so you know, excuse me for not knowing the thing I'm about to reference, but there is actually a podcast out there that is fully built around, I think every episode they do a fantasy draft of some kind. So they could fantasy draft Oreo flavors or store-bought cookies or candy bars or whatever the case might be. I had that idea probably, I don't know, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, before podcasts were like really a thing, like right as the iPhone was coming out, the podcast didn't really exist. I was like, man, it would be so cool to do this. And actually, in my first job coming out of college, one of the things we did to pass time in the office was those mock drafts. We would do them via email. We would draft sports movies, or we would do this, this, or this. And it was something that we had a great time doing. Then I found out that podcast existed probably like 5 years ago or so. I was like, oh my God, I feel like such a moron. I should have brought that idea back and done it because it's so fun. I love doing this exercise. I will draft pretty much anything. So the fact that we get to do it for WWE Superstars, and it's topical because of the WWE draft itself coming up, of course, this coming Friday and Monday across SmackDown and Raw, that, of course, is fantastic for me. Now, before we get into the draft itself, I'm going to set up all of the rules. Now, this is slightly different from last year when, Chris, you'll remember, there were multiple undisputed champions. Therefore, there were only so many championships to go around, and choosing brands for you and I became more difficult. This year, there's only really one set of, I guess you can call them undisputed champions. Those are the women's tag team champions, the Kabuki Warriors. They will be ineligible as selections because right now they work across both brands. In terms of tag teams, they can stay together or they can be split. Groups or factions do not stay together automatically unless there is mutual agreement between the both of us as we go through the process. And of course, all of the part-timers, The Rock, John Cena, Brock Lesnar, who even knows his current status, Trish Stratus, etc., none of them are eligible. And finally, the current NXT champions at the time we record this podcast are also ineligible. And then what we're going to do is we're going to flip a coin. Whoever wins that coin toss will have their choice between brand or number one overall pick. And then from there, we will go snake style all the way through the rest of the draft. So, Vintage, are you ready for Getting Over's 2024 WWE mock draft?
I'm ready. Let's do this. I feel like my track record on the coin toss is really bad. We'll see.
It has not been. So you know what? Why don't you let the Silver King do the coin toss this year? I always give you, right, as the co-host, I always give you the opportunity. Allow me to pick this year. All right?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, Google, flip a coin. I'm picking tails.
It's tails.
All right, there you go. Luck is on the Silver King side, but let's be candid. This is not an easy pick. So I'm going to talk this out loud here. From a SmackDown standpoint, if I was to take them, I get Cody Rhodes as the world champion, Bayley as the women's champion, Logan Paul as the mid-card champion, and then A-Town Down Under as the tag team champions. If I was to take Raw, I get Damian Priest as the world champion, Becky Lynch as the newly crowned women's world champion, Sami Zayn as the mid-card champion, and Awesome Truth as the tag team champion. But if I choose either brand, then I don't get the number one overall pick, and I think you and I both have a good idea of who's going to be the number one overall pick. This is difficult. I prefer Raw in terms of the actual show and the way it's constructed right now, but if I'm looking at the champions, SmackDown is stronger, and I don't know when that presumed number one overall pick is going to come in. So the Silver King is going to go ahead, defer the number one overall pick to his co-host, Vintage Chris Vanini, and I will take SmackDown as my brand of choice, which gives me the American Nightmare Cody Rhodes as the undisputed WWE champion, Bayley as technically the undisputed WWE women's champion, Logan Paul as the United States champion, and A-Town Down Under as the WWE tag team champions. Chris, that also gives you Damian Priest as your world champion, Becky Lynch as your women's world champion, Sami Zayn as your intercontinental champion, and Awesome Truth as your world tag team champions. How are you feeling about that?
You had to pick it. Like, you have Cody Rhodes. He's the biggest guy in wrestling.
Yeah.
You have to go with SmackDown there. This is the first time that the presumed number one pick is actually available to be drafted, so to speak. Because I'm pretty sure he's been the champion for every single draft that we've done.
That is true. So, I actually went back and listened to some of our former mock drafts. It's not only him that's available. It's other individuals who have been longtime champions that were automatically given to one or the other of us because of the brand they were on. And again, it's the first time that we've ever been able to do a draft where we get a full set of champions on our roster to start. That has never happened before in the history of the Getting Over mock draft. So, Chris, I think that's a great entree into the draft itself. Ladies and gentlemen, allow me to welcome you to Getting Over's 2024 WWE mock draft. And with the first selection, Vintage Chris Vanini's Raw brand is on the board. Chris, who are you taking to kick off our WWE mock draft?
With the first pick in the 2024 Getting Over mock draft, Chris Vanini's Raw selects Roman Reigns, Tribal Chief, former undisputed WWE Universal Champion.
Now, if we were a highly produced podcast and we had a producer, I'd play the theme songs of all these superstars every single time we picked one. Certainly, we do that for our Getting Over Awards, aka
the Meaties,
but did not have the same time to do it here. But of course, Roman Reigns obviously had to go number one. Makes all the sense in the world. Jealous that you get him, at the same time thrilled I still have Cody Rhodes, and pretty happy, Chris, that I get the next two picks, because it is snake style, and that is huge for the Silver King. Now, in this spot last year, because I had the SmackDown brand and I picked second last year, in this spot I did take Seth Rollins. I'm not doing that this year. There's a number of reasons why, but I'm looking at this, and the way I'm trying to build my roster this year, not to kind of give you my strategy, it's going to be about keeping compelling storylines and high quality wrestling together based on who the champions are and what I think could transpire for the rest of the year. So with that said, back to back, my first round and second round pick, the Silver King on the SmackDown brand is choosing Drew McIntyre and CM Punk.
Look, CM Punk is, I didn't think you'd take him that high. Your second overall pick, but it's a great pick. Like, I would have taken him 100% right there if I was going to. Honestly, but with McIntyre and Punk right there, that's a great 1-2. To me, Roman, Drew, and Punk were the clear top three picks in this draft. I was kind of hoping Punk would slide down around, but no, that's great, man.
Well, this is the standpoint. This is why I did it this way. I'll just be, you know, straight up with it. Drew McIntyre, you know, Roman Reigns right now is the number one heel. Whether he comes back as a heel, we don't know. Drew McIntyre is the number two heel on the men's side right now. He just is. I mean, as great as obviously Gunther is and some other guys on the roster, I need the top tier heel to go up against Cody Rhodes. And if I'm taking McIntyre, then I have to have CM Punk for that storyline. Plus, both of those do work in storyline with Cody Rhodes directly. So all together as a package, I really didn't have much of a choice except to go with those three guys, or I'm sorry, those two guys to go along with Cody. Hands tied a little bit. At the same time, excited to have both of them. Also, SmackDown is trying to continue that sold-out streak. And what do we have now? We have Cody Rhodes and CM Punk on the same brand. We are selling tickets on the blue brand.
Yeah, that's a heck of a 1-2-3 punch. Yeah. All right. So with my second-round pick, I am selecting Seth Rollins. Mm-hmm. And with my third-round pick, I'm selecting main event Jey Uso.
That is very interesting.
Now, there's a few things we can do with this.
Okay.
The three guys I have, Reigns, Rollins, Jey Uso, they go together.
Absolutely.
Damian Priest is my champion. Look, he's a weak champion. He just won the belt. Nothing's happened.
How soon are you taking the title off Priest once your roster comes together?
Pretty quickly. Roman Reigns is essentially my number one guy. So what do I have? Roman Seth. Boom. That's something.
Yep.
What do we have?
Huge.
Roman Jey. There's a lot of storyline there. They can be together. They can be separate. So that's where I'm starting to build off of. I'm going to try to build around that as opposed to Damian Priest.
I think that makes total sense. At the same time, I think it is fair to say, or some people will say at least, that Jey Uso is overdrafted because he's super over.
Yes.
But it's like third round pick. That's pretty high. That may actually happen in the real WWE draft. I'm not saying it's not going to happen, but it is.
I'm not saying he's the fifth or sixth best guy in WWE, all of WWE right now. It's about how he ties into Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
And Sami Zayn as well, who is my mid-card champion. So, like, again, Roman, Sami, Jey, these guys can work together in a lot of different ways. So that's the pick. It's about a good team, not just picking best available.
No, makes total sense. And it's a good selection for that reason. Now, Chris, I am jealous, let's be honest, that you have Becky Lynch as your women's champion. And I'm thrilled that I have Bayley, don't get me wrong. But, you know, Silver King is a fan of the man. So because of that, I need to just simply pick the top women's wrestler in the world right now. And in my third round, the Silver King's SmackDown brand is selecting Rhea Ripley. Mommy is officially part of SmackDown. And I'm following that right up. I mentioned his name already. We're not wasting any time with this guy coming off the board. The former 660-day reigning Intercontinental Champion, the Ring General Gunther, is a member of the SmackDown brand. What are your thoughts on those picks?
It's a lot of star power to start. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Gunther is obviously great. You are much higher on him than I am. It makes sense that he's there. I'm fine with what I picked so far. But yeah, look, Rhea's a tough one. I would have had Rhea mm-hmm. if she didn't have to, or at least, you know, would have had Rhea if she didn't have to give up the title.
And I would have had Becky, most likely.
Yeah, pretty much. Would have flipped that. So yeah, that works. Good picks.
All right. You got two more. Go for it.
With my number four pick, I am taking Bianca Belair.
Okay.
And with my number five pick, I am taking Jade Cargill. Who, huge. Yes, has not done much in WWE yet, but the two of them together work, the two of them separate work. Again, kind of fitting things together here. They are the two women power trip I'd like to set up at some point. At some point, we're going to get Bianca, Becky. They're great together. So Bianca and Jade, what do you think?
I think it's really great. If anyone's going to make Jade look good, it's Becky Lynch. Let me put it that way. Let me be very clear about that. So that's a huge program right there. Belair mixed in. You have them go after the women's tag team titles. That makes a lot of sense. Then eventually they go after individually Becky and the world title. That makes sense. Great pick back to back. Kind of jealous you got both of them, but I understand. And especially
that's the thing with the that's the thing with the snake draft though.
Yeah.
Is that like as I think about what I'm picking, I kind of think like, do they go together at the same time?
It's tough.
We're picking two at a time.
They do. They go together and they present a really strong women's division. So strong, Chris, I would say. I got to counter that because I can't just be sitting here with Bayley and Rhea Ripley while you have Becky Lynch, Bianca Belair, and Jade Cargill. So I'm going to go with the other best women's wrestler in the world who's still just sitting out there. I believe I had her last year in this draft and I'm taking her again. Io Sky is the fifth round pick of the Silver King. And now we get to the difficult part as far as I'm concerned, because I got four wrestlers that for me are all right on the same level where they're super popular, they're super talented, they're over, and you could go either way. And I did something real nice for you last year. It was not reciprocated. Yet, I'm probably going to do it again because I'm not going to pick one person, and instead I'm going to pick another one. And that other one is none other than Kevin Owens. So Kevin Owens, the sixth round pick of the Silver King, and I'm loving the way my roster is stacked up right now. You want to talk about built-in storylines? Well, Kevin Owens and CM Punk from Ring of Honor, built in. Kevin Owens and Drew McIntyre, built in. Kevin Owens and Cody Rhodes, good friends. Kevin Owens, the one who helped Cody get in with the Bullet Club guys, the Young Bucks, etc. Loving the way this is shaping up. Io Sky, Kevin Owens, the last two picks for SmackDown.
Kevin Owens is tough. I wanted him. I got Sammy already. I wanted Kevin Owens. That is a tough one. Mm-hmm. Io, look, she's great. I wasn't going to take her for the next several rounds. So,
and that's insane as far as I'm concerned. That's ridiculous.
You can take that. That's fine.
That's an insane
opinion. Kevin Owens is a tough one. Kevin Owens is the guy I've always believed you can build a company around him. Like I've always felt like that. So that is, hurts not to get Kevin Owens. But the next two guys, I actually had him probably below these two people I'm going to pick, which again, go together. With my sixth pick, Raw selects L.A. Knight. Yeah. And with my seventh pick, Raw selects AJ Styles. These two guys, blood feud. I love what they're doing right now. AJ is obviously currently the number one contender. We're not expecting him to win at Backlash. But one of the big rising heels in L.A. Knight is the star. And L.A. Knight is on the rise. I got him last year. He slipped down quite a bit. Not making that mistake, not letting him slip down this year. Sixth round pick. What do you think?
Well, let's be clear. He didn't so much get him last year as I handed him to you on a silver platter last year.
Well, that's because everybody knows the Silver King has hated LA Knight.
It's more like I want you to be happy coming out of the draft because I know I'm wiping the floor with you. So I gotta ensure that you're at least pleased with the team that you've put together. But no, LA Knight, again, I have four guys, like I said, for these four selections. Those were three, and I get the opportunity to take the fourth one. AJ Styles, I love him as a seventh round pick. I think if memory serves, we chose him much lower last year because he was injured. We weren't sure when he was coming back, so on and so forth. LA Knight was also much lower last year. I believe Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn were ineligible to be selected because they were the undisputed tag team champions. So neither of them were drafted. So KO now gets an opportunity to get picked sixth for me, LA Knight sixth for you. AJ Styles, your seventh round pick. Makes a lot of sense. It also leaves me the other guy I wanted to select. And just being candid, these were the top two on that four-person list I have on my big board, which I have on another tab for this draft that we're doing right here. I am selecting, with my seventh round pick, Finn Balor. And let me tell you what's happening with Finn Balor on the Silver Kings Blue Brand. He is becoming WWE champion at some point over the next calendar year. That is a fact. That is happening. And again, what do we have? We have Balor and Owens. Makes sense. Balor, McIntyre. Makes sense. I don't think Balor and Punk really have anything together. Balor and Cody Rhodes absolutely do. Balor and Gunther, they have experience from NXT together and, of course, from being both European. So there's just a lot of connections here all coming together. Love the way that this roster is shaping up. And for my eighth round pick, I'm going to stay strong with my women's division. I already have Rhea Ripley. Well, guess who is on a revenge tour going after Rhea Ripley? It's Liv Morgan. She is my eighth round selection.
Yeah, that's fine. Again, your last two women's picks, I had them lower on my big board.
That's so cool. I'm sorry that I prioritize the women and you don't. That's okay.
I'll take it. All right. I was worried I was going to lose these people.
Okay.
But I have to take them now because of how my roster is set up. So I'm glad you went and did Liv Morgan and Neo Sky, because I am taking, with my eighth pick, Jimmy Uso. And with my ninth pick, can we count Solo Sikoa and Tama Tonga as a team?
Another favor requested from the Silver King as part of the draft. Am I a nice guy? Am I not? Let's see. Well, look, right now, Tama Tonga is so new that we don't know what he is going to be. And it's quite possible that they're a tag team. So
there's only two members active with the Bloodline.
Right, right. Now, we do think, obviously, Jacob Fatu is going to debut. We're not going to choose him in this draft because he's technically not part of the roster yet. No, nothing like that. So in the interest of, honestly, more than in the interest of, like, helping you, in the interest of getting as many people drafted as possible, sure, throw them together, Solo Sikoa and Tama Tonga.
So that gives me the Bloodline.
The Bloodline.
Jimmy Uso, an eighth-round pick, on its face, no.
Right.
But when you pair him with Solo and Tama and Jay and Roman, think of all the Bloodline stories we can do there. We can put the Usos back together. We can redo Jimmy, Jay, and make it better. Mm-hmm. We can do Jimmy and Jay versus Solo and Tama. We got Roman Reigns is going to come back, be the tribal chief at some point. So, again, I'm picking, you know, AJ and LA Knight go together. Bianca and Jade go together. Seth and Roman go. I'm picking people here who fit together. And I now have the whole Bloodline. And I am ecstatic about it.
Yeah, I think for that reason it works. If I was being a stickler, I would have told you to take Solo and Tama in the eighth and Jimmy in the ninth, because that makes a lot more sense.
Whatever.
I know, I'm saying if I was a stickler. But no, it makes sense to have them all together if you're going to be continuing that storyline. It is a lot of capital to use. I mean, you're using four of your first nine picks just for one faction, but it is the top storyline in professional wrestling right now, and you're getting the opportunity to continue it. I would argue that I have a stronger roster, but you definitely have the strongest faction and probably the strongest storyline. However, I do believe what I've done so far gives me the opportunity to create a lot of top tier storylines based in reality with having Cody as champion and a lot of the individual men's singles that I chose.
Yeah, you could do your dream matches. I'm going to have not only the entire Bloodline, but the honorary Uso, Sami Zayn as well. We're running Sammy Roman back.
But let me be clear. Silver King's not talking dream matches. I'm talking about in-depth storytelling. And we're both going to have it just in completely different ways. Very similar. You know what's actually kind of interesting, Chris? You have very much a SmackDown roster.
Yes. I was going to say, we have...
The only person that you've drafted from Raw... Or, sorry, two. Seth Rollins and Jey Uso, but... You know, Uso was largely on SmackDown. Right. Everyone else is a SmackDown superstar. So you're basically taking SmackDown and putting it on your brand. And you know what I've done? I've basically drafted Raw and put it on my brand.
Is that really? Well,
with the exception of Io Sky. Yeah.
Well, Kevin Owens is on SmackDown and Finn's on Raw. Liv's on Raw.
The only people I've drafted.
McIntyre's, I guess.
Raw. The only people, we've each drafted two people from our current brands, I guess. And everyone else from the opposite brand, which I find pretty interesting.
Well, I'll say this. When I look at your team so far, I think there's a lot of fresh stories we can tell.
Yes.
While I'm very much drafting active stories.
That's fair. I think that's totally fair. Although, of course, McIntyre and Punk is an active story. And I guess yes. Ripley and Morgan is too. But that one hasn't really gotten started. And McIntyre and Punk, they haven't wrestled, you know, outside of the Royal Rumble. Yeah. So it makes sense. All right. We're through 9 rounds. It is time for the Silver King to go back to back with the snake style. I'm talking about creating competition for Cody Rhodes. I also think we found something pretty cool recently on SmackDown where Kevin Owens teamed up with this person and I pitched to you on this show, a tag team between them. So I get a double dose of this here. I'm going to team them up, but I'm also having this person go after Cody Rhodes at some point because it is, again, another ready-made storyline for the WWE champion. I'm selecting in the 9th round Randy Orton. I think I'm getting a huge value with him. I think 2 or 3 rounds too low for Randy Orton.
It really is. I have him there, and I was thinking, like, do I take Jimmy and Solo and Tom and the Bloodline, or do I take Randy Orton? I went with Bloodline for story's sake, but look, Randy would be ahead of so many people I would have drafted if we're going straight up. I was hoping just one more round to get back to me. I was definitely going to take him. But no, that's a great pick.
I really should have taken him over Liv Morgan now that I think about it.
Exactly.
No offense to Liv, but this is tough because look, what everyone has to remember when we're doing this is we're not just taking best available necessarily. We're trying to build the rosters for purpose, but also across 3 divisions. We need men's singles, women's singles, men's tag teams, and hopefully if we get lucky, women's tag teams as well. So we have to take all of that into consideration. Now, that said, Silver King hasn't really drafted a tag team yet, though I did just put those two together. So that does make sense.
Liv Morgan getting drafted ahead of Randy Orton is something that would happen in the real world.
Yes, that is true. It will. It's ridiculous. And just like Jay Uso getting drafted ahead of Randy Orton. I know he's younger. It still should not happen, and it might. It probably will at some point over the next couple of days. All right, let me finish my round, though. I'm not done. So Randy Orton, I went age and experience in my 9th round. I'm going the exact opposite in the 10th round. I'll go youth and beauty. Tiffany Stratton staying on the blue brand in the 10th round.
That's a good pick. Good pick.
I know it's a good pick.
Look, she's been great. She's on a rise and she hasn't even accomplished anything yet.
Like, right.
Her ceiling is crazy. I remember when I was at the WWE tryout at WrestleMania 2022, I was talking to a WWE executive who said, Tiffany Stratton, who we got at the previous tryout at the previous SummerSlam, is going to be huge. And I was like, oh, I'll keep an eye on her. And yeah, absolutely. Complete star written all over her. Great pick.
All right. You have 2 selections. Go for it.
All right, I got to get back on the women's.
You do.
Frontier.
You do badly.
You've taken a few. I've done my storylines. I've dubbed my bloodline. My number 10 pick, I am taking Charlotte Flair. Haven't seen her for a while.
Okay.
But she's Hall of Famer, one of the best ever. You put Charlotte and Bianca together. Charlotte and Jade together.
Charlotte and Becky. Potential.
Charlotte and Becky, exactly. Yeah. And following in that, Nia Jax is my 11th pick. As you can tell, with Bianca, Charlotte, Jade, Nia, I got big meaty women flapping meat right here. This is the land of the giants over here on Raw, other than Becky Lynch. So I'm liking the meat in my women's division right now.
I need some meat.
I need to find some meat for this brand. I do have Kevin Owens and Gunther, but yeah, meat needs to come my way. So you know what? Let me go ahead and grab some. 2 different types, very different types of meat, now that I mention it. And I will note, this is not a phrase that ever would have been said on this podcast the last 3 times that we did a mock draft. I'm actually jealous that you got Nia Jax in the 11th round. Like, that is a really good pick because her arrow, it's insane, dude. It continues to point up. She was so good in that battle royal on Monday night. She may have been the MVP of that entire match.
I kind of think she would have won. Like in hindsight, I kind of wish Nia Jax had won.
No, it would have made
Battle Royal is when you have the giant win, you know, so to speak.
No.
So either way, but I've got Nia, Becky, who have great chemistry.
They do. That's so awesome.
Very much shored up my women's division with those picks.
You did. And I'm going to do the same here because ever since she came back to WWE, we have just seen her improve and improve and improve on a week-to-week basis. And I just think she's immensely talented and doing a fantastic job. Best mic work of her career, by the way, as well. I'm taking Naomi in the 11th round. And I'm really excited to pair her again with Bayley, Rhea Ripley, Liv Morgan, Tiffany Stratton. I know it's very SmackDown heavy. Io Sky, I forgot if I just said her name. That's a really strong women's division. I think we both actually have extremely strong women's divisions, and that is positive now that you've actually finally selected women. So that's really great. So
I was torn. I was between Nia and Naomi here because Naomi would have given me the big three, you know.
Oh, true.
Even though they're not really a thing yet.
Yeah.
I was like, can I? But I wanted Nia right now because of what she means for what I have shaping in my women's division and her and Becky. So I was like, I can't take Naomi over Nia. I was hoping to get her the next time around. That's a tough one. Good pick.
Now, for my next selection, I'm looking at my roster, and I got a lot of bread. Got a lot of water. All I need now is meat.
He don't want no water. He don't want no bread. All he wants is meat.
So I'm sticking with my youth movement, and I'm going to be selecting the newest member of SmackDown who's going to stay on SmackDown, Braun Breaker, my 12th round pick. Chris, you got back-to-back.
Good upside there with Braun. Still hasn't really done anything on the main roster other than spear a bunch of jobbers to death, but I'm a big fan of his. Upside is extremely high. Solid pick.
All right. You got back-to-back.
All right. Let's see here. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So, like I've mentioned, how a lot of these picks I'm going, they go together.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm picking with my 12th pick, Rey Mysterio.
Great.
And with my 13th pick, Dominic Mysterio.
Okay.
Got to have the father son together. I know you've got Rhea. Plus you have Rhea.
Yeah, that's kind of apart. Not cool.
That helped me. Since Rhea's kind of on the shelf, we didn't really count her with anybody, I guess, but Ray and Dominic, kind of surprised WWE hasn't really gone back to that. I know they had a tag match at WrestleMania, but it was like secondhand story. I'm getting back into the story. Yeah. We're going back to the Mysterio house this time. Dominic on his own. We're getting him and Ray together, and we're doing that again.
Yeah, taking him away from Rhea, not cool on your part, but it's okay. That is what happens in the draft. So, all right, what does the Silver King need here? All right, we got a lot of great single stars for the men and women. We need tag teams. I'm going to go with probably still the best tag team in the company in terms of an active team that gets the crowd on their feet. I'm going to tell you this right now. There is going to be a costume change for these guys. And I'm also doing everyone a favor by breaking up the not officially named yet kind of named Pride. The Silver King is taking the Street Profits in the 13th round of this WWE mock draft. And I'm following up with another exceptional tag team that can also work as single stars, depending what I want to do. I'm taking Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano DIY. All of a sudden, the Silver King has far and away the best tag team division in this draft process. Chris, what do you got for your 14th and 15th round selections?
Yeah, we haven't really gotten into the tag teams yet so far. I kind of just have a bunch of singles people that can go together. Solo and Tama can be a team.
Right.
Jay and Dominic could be in team. Jay and Jimmy can be a team. Sammy and Jay can be a team. I have Awesome Truth, who's not a great group, is my champion. So
I totally forgot I have A Town Down Under. I love that with my tag team division. That's fantastic.
You got a good tag team division right now.
That's great.
So it makes me think I should go tag team right now, but I look at the opportunity I have here right now. I'm going to go with my 14th pick, Chelsea Green and Piper Niven.
I love that. That's a great selection.
I love this tag team in general, but you throw Piper in with Nia, Charlotte, Jade, and Bianca. You want to talk about meat? Reinforce the ring posts.
Reinforce the ring posts. The meat's going to be flying tonight, gentlemen.
Land of the Giants. Love this team. Piper and Chelsea, number 14. And number 15, to continue that trend, I got to close it out. This is the last opportunity. Raquel Rodriguez. We haven't seen her in a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you throw her in with all these other Giants. My women's division is skyscrapers right now. I am loving what I have in my women's division. Tag team division, there's not a lot there. So I'm going to let you kind of have the tag team advantage. I'm going to go all in on my big women right now.
Where else can you see two beef planets like this colliding?
Beef planets, I like that.
Piper and Raquel would be quite a match just on their own, not to mention all the other also, women that you have in the division.
Also, you know who's great together? Piper and Bianca.
Yeah, they have wrestled well. And Piper and Becky as well.
Yeah.
They all do good work together.
Every time they throw Bianca in there to do a KOD to Piper and Niven, mm-hmm. it's a banger of a match. I love the two of them.
I did have Raquel pretty soon on my list. So little angry you took her. I was going to put her with Rhea Ripley in terms of, you know, having them feud, but also potentially being a tag team. That would have made a lot of sense. They have history together. But it's a really good pick, and you needed to beef up that women's division, not in terms of the beef aspect, but just the bodies. I still, though, want to build my women's division as well. So with my 15th round pick, I'm going to choose another member, actually, now that I kind of look at this all together, of Damage Control. In fact, now that I look at it, if you consider the Kabuki Warriors, because they cross both shows, I'm taking all of Damage Control. I'm adding Dakota Kai, who is really, I mean, you want to talk about an arrow pointing up? She has been exceptional recently in matches that she's been in. I actually think I drafted her last year as well. And I said, hey, she is someone I could actually elevate to be women's champion. And I mean that. She has personality. She has ring talent. She has the entire package. I love that I'm getting her. It might be a couple slots too early. I don't care. I need Dakota Kai on my roster. And I got to tell you this. I'm getting jealous about the beef. All right. I need to add some meat to the Silver Kings roster. And I already have Gunther, right? I just added Braun Breaker a little bit ago. I have Drew McIntyre already. So I might as well round it all out. I am taking Sheamus. He is joining the SmackDown roster.
Big meaty man slapping meat. That's
what I want. I can do that Wrestle Meat Fest or Wrestle Media, whatever that was supposed to be or might have been. I can actually put that together, and I will. We're going to have a meat extravaganza on this side for the men's division. You have the meat on the women's division. I got the meat for the men's division.
Burger after burger after burger, right?
He'll be shredded. Don't worry. I'm getting him on a program. He'll be fine.
Sheamus looked great. He looked a lot better this week, so he's clearly trending in the right direction. No, that plus, I mean, you got Gunther, Sheamus, Drew. You want to run back that five-star match again?
Oh, yeah.
You've got you have the I guess I have the Intercontinental title, which is the one thing Sheamus hasn't won.
Yeah.
But no, good pick.
But it's those three plus KO and Braun Breaker. And don't forget, Randy Orton's a monster, even though he's not, you know, the definition of meat like those guys.
Yeah. Good pick. Good pick. All righty. With the 16th pick.
Wait, let me stop you right here. This was where we're gonna end the draft. I mean, we originally planned to go 16 rounds.
Yeah.
I still have a lot on my big board. Do you as well?
Yes, I do.
Let's say we extend this. You want to go,
okay.
Should we go 20? Should we go 22? Like how deep do you want to go here?
I could do 20 or 22. I think we did this last year. I think our draft was supposed to be like 10 and we went to like 20 or something like that. Because they've done such a good job that so many people are over that.
Yes.
You know, the first couple of years we did the draft, it was like, ugh, we're kind of.
That's the crazy thing. Look how deep we are. We're in the 16th round plus four champions each. And we're still picking people that are featured, heavy mid-carders, recent champions. Like, let's go 22. I think we each have six additional picks in us.
Okay, that works.
All right,
go for it. With my 16th pick, I'm going to go with Santos Escobar.
See, you did that on purpose. You screwed me over on that one.
Well,
unbelievable.
Well, no, I was going to take, I mean, I still had a pick. So this is an extra round. I was getting him anyway.
I know. I'm just saying.
You got him and Ray. You got him and Dominic. Again, you can put these things together in some really fun ways. I think he's a future world champion. Still think he's a star. He is awesome. And with the 17th pick, I'm going to go The New Day. Got to get some tag teams in there. And it doesn't hurt to get a former WWE champion at Kofi Kingston as part of that team. So again, guys who can be together, guys who can be separate. That's the theme of my tag division right now.
No, those are great picks. Make a ton of sense. Now, when we talk about big meaty men slapping meat, you don't normally include this guy because he's not a big meaty man. But man, oh man, does this guy slap meat? And we are taping this shortly after NXT ended on Tuesday night, which means he is now available in our draft pool, fresh off losing the NXT championship. The Silver King to the SmackDown brand is selecting Ilya Dragunov. We are slapping meat, folks, on Friday nights. Let me tell you something.
You know what? I didn't even think of that. He literally just lost the title.
He did.
I was like, oh, wait, he's not available. Oh, wait, yes, he did. He literally just lost it tonight. So that's a sneaky good pick. I should have taken him. I didn't even think about that. That's a good pick.
Put your meat on my meat, man. Gently now. Please, gently. I'm delicate.
I'm running out of the meat sound drops. I'm doing the best I can.
You know what you have? You know what you have right now.
What?
You have Ilya Dragunov and Gunther.
I do.
Two match of the year winners between the two of them.
And again, there's also Ilya Dragunov and Sheamus. And Ilya Dragunov and Bron Breakker, who both put on, I think I graded them 4.5 star plus, both of their matches in NXT. Ilya Dragunov and Kevin Owens and Drew McIntyre and Finn Balor and Cody Rhodes.
This is ridiculous. It's not meat with him. What it is beating the crap out of each other.
Yeah.
And that's what you're going to get. Yeah. A lot of hard strikers in there.
This match, by the way, coming off of the Trick Williams match on NXT, which hopefully everyone watches. And if you haven't, make sure you do before you get to Thursday's podcast, because I'm going to be talking about it. What an effing match. So to be able to get him in the 17th round of this draft, an absolute steal. Extremely excited to have him. And I'm kind of feeling it a little bit here. I'm going to stick with my NXT guys. I mean, I already got Bron Breakker coming over, although he technically already got called up. Ilya Dragunov. Man, there's a lot of big names still left on this board. Can I do this? All right, yeah, I'm going to do it. In the 18th round of this 2024 WWE mock draft, the Silver King is going to be selecting him. Carmelo Hayes joins the blue brand as well. So Ilya Dragunov, right. Carmelo Hayes, that's my turn.
Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Do you think Carmelo's stock has dropped considerably over the past couple of months?
You know, it feels like it has. It's tough because he's been playing purposefully the B-side to Trick Williams.
Right.
And the goal has been to let Trick shine. At the same time, the way Trick has been able to shine, and also when you just look at his overall presence and his size, it's a lot of the typical stuff that WWE always likes. And when you juxtapose them against each other, you say, man, I thought Carmelo was going to be this massive star, but maybe it's Trick that's going to be that star. I still look at them very much, you know, not to the same level, don't get me wrong, as Shawn Michaels and Diesel. They're two guys who are immensely talented, both have crazy high ceilings, and I think each of them will have their periods of success on the main roster. But let's be clear, Trick is nowhere near the talent today that Carmelo is. His potential, if you want to make the argument that his ceiling is higher, fine. But today, Carmelo Hayes is the better wrestler. He's the better promo. He's the better overall performer. And even on this roster that I'm constructing, no, this is not a guy that in the next year is going to be anywhere near the world title picture. But is he going to be involved in the mid-card championship? Is he going to be fighting Logan Paul? You bet your ass he is. And he's going to be a young talent on this brand that's going to come up. Because look, I do have some older dudes. We both do, actually. You know, I have the Randy Orton. I have the Sheamus. I don't think Gunther is old, but certainly he's aged. Kevin Owens is older. Finn Balor is older. CM Punk is older. So, like, I got some age. I need some youth. I'm trying to counter it and balance it. So, Bron Breakker, Ilya Dragunov, Carmelo Hayes in the last couple of picks, that accomplishes that for me. He's not going to bump meat like these other guys, but we need some high flyers on this brand as well, and he's going to be able to do that.
It's a good pick. Good pick. My 18th pick. Kind of surprised he fell this far, but speaking of stock going down, I still think it's a good pick here. Bobby Lashley.
Wow. Yeah, that is a great pick. And that is really low. I think he was, fourth round or fifth round pick last year. And he's 18th round this year.
This thing with the Street Profits just weirdly lowered the status of both of them.
All of them. Like, killed them.
It's very rare. Like, you put Judgment Day together, it elevates all of them. You put these guys together and it descended all of them. So you got the Profits on their own. They're on the upswing like that with you. Mm-hmm. I've got Bobby Lashley on his own. He's going to get back up on the upswing.
And you got some much needed meat for your men's division because you really don't have that much.
Some men's meat in there.
Yeah.
And got another former WWE champion.
You do.
So going to go with that. Okay. Now, nobody really stands out here to me after that. So this is where it gets a little tricky, these last couple picks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with my 19th pick, Ricochet.
Okay, that's a great pick.
I don't have many high flyers. I wouldn't put Ray in that group. So I wouldn't really put AJ in that group either. So I need some more athleticism, and I think Ricochet will do that.
No, that's a fantastic pick, and I was choosing between him and Carmelo Hayes. Those were the two I was going back and forth.
Yeah. Here's a question. I guess it's on Raw, but do I get Samantha Irvin?
No.
Since I'm Raw and since
no, now that's another conversation that needs to be had. No, you do not automatically get Samantha Irvin. In fact, if it's any scenario,
I'm a big fan of her work.
If it's any scenario where she has the choice on what brand she's going to go to, I guarantee you she's coming to the blue brand. There's no question about that. The way you've been talking about her on this show. Although, to be fair, in WWE, they do keep couples together, right? So she probably would wind up staying with Raw, but I'm not going to entertain that thought on this podcast because that would also mean, by the way, that like Jimmy would be on my side or Naomi would be on your side. Then we're getting way complicated. So no, I am not default giving you Samantha Irvin.
I do.
You can go F yourself. Or as someone else once said,
off is a direction you can fuck.
If you're trying to get Samantha Irvin from the Silver King. All right. 19th round selection. We're getting deep in this draft. I'm loving what he's doing right now on Raw. I believe he fits perfectly into the men's singles division that I'm building. Makes all the sense in the world. 19th round, I am selecting Chad Gable.
Mm.
He's coming over to SmackDown. And in the 20th round, it's been a while since I've taken a women's wrestler, so I do need to add another one. There's actually still a number of really good ones out there that are already on the main roster. We're not even talking about going into NXT to grab anyone. I'm going to select Zoe Stark. She will join me in the 20th round of this draft.
Do you want Shayna Baszler with her?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, that counts.
I do. They're a tag team. They're definitely together. Yeah, let me take Zoe Stark and Shayna Baszler. That works. I'll keep them together for a bit. I'll eventually split them up. And Baszler, there's a lot she can do. There's some real good talent that she can work with on this show. I think she could actually have a couple banger matches with, like, probably Io Sky, Rhea Ripley. They could probably do something. Bayley, she could work well with. So, yeah, I'll take both of them, keep them together as a women's tag team initially.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, I need some tag teams.
So just to clarify for everyone, you're on your 20th pick, and we're doing 22 total rounds, so you're getting back-to-back. And then you will have the final pick of the draft coming back around to you.
Okay. Yeah, I need some tag teams now. Got to clean up here. New Catch Republic with my 20th pick.
Okay.
Again,
really
guys
good.
They can work together. They can work separate. I think Tyler Bate on his own, I think, would be great. New Catch Republic. 21st pick. I'm going with Pretty Deadly. I love this guy.
Yeah, that's great.
I think they're awesome. I think they're hilarious. We are pushing them to the top of our admittedly thin tag team division. We are going big on Pretty Deadly. Big fans of them.
Okay, so two picks left for the blue brand. This is where it gets tight because, I mean, I know some of you out there are screaming like, you're missing this person, you're missing that person. They're on my list. I see them. I'm looking at them right now. I understand. The expectation here is anyone not drafted becomes an undrafted free agent, and Chris and I bid on them and we eventually add them to our rosters. But from a draft standpoint, I want to make sure I have people on my roster that, again, are young, but there's so much meat on the roster. I got to counteract that with speed, quickness, high flying, all that. So I love that I have Carmelo Hayes, Chad Gable certainly is not a high flyer, but he has that quickness to him. I have Finn Balor, again, a little bit older, but has that ability. I need someone who's just going to spark. He's not necessarily going to be Ricochet like you have, but maybe he can be my Rey Mysterio. I am choosing Dragon Lee in the 21st round. I think he's going to bring a lot of excitement to the show, and I'm going to use him properly. He's going to be featured consistently on television. And then in the 22nd round with my final pick, I want to continue building my women's roster. I also want to have a strong women's tag team division. I say this all the time. I drafted for that last year. I'm going to draft for it again this year. And anyone who listens to this podcast knows there is no women's tag team in the entire company I like more than this one. That is Kayden Carter and Katana Chance. They are my 22nd and final pick in this WWE mock draft. Chris, you have the Mr. Irrelevant selection of this draft. Who are you choosing 22nd in your draft and 44th overall?
I'm going with the Don, Tony D'Angelo.
Fantastic.
I'm a big fan. I love his gimmick in NXT. It's so good. Mm-hmm. The stuff with him and Ilya, the stuff like the storyline they did, the mob stuff, that was awesome. You have Ilya, which is too bad, but I'm a big fan of Tony D'Angelo and his whole thing. Plus, I'm Italian. I can relate. It's good to see that representation on screen. It's important.
Real accurate, tight representation there.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Tony D to wrap up my team.
It's a good pick, and you finally took someone from NXT. I mean, I'm lapping you.
I also wanted somebody from NXT.
Yeah, that's a good choice to wrap it up. Now, in terms of notable, healthy names who went undrafted, we had Ludwig Kaiser and Giovanni Vinci, which I can almost guarantee would have been chosen together as a tag team for Imperium had they not just broken up on Monday night. Let me go through the whole rest of them here.
Should you get Ludwig with Gunther?
I mean, considering they're like a tandem now coming out of Raw, I do think that would be appropriate. They're not really a tag team, so that's why I didn't do it. But if you want to give me the same allowance that you got with Tama Tonga and Solo Sikoa, then I would take him for sure.
Yeah, you get Ludwig with Gunther. That's fair.
I'm going to throw him on there. So him, Giovanni Vinci, obviously, now that they got split, undrafted. Bronson Reed, Shinsuke Nakamura, Andrade, Zelina Vega, Mee Chin, JD McDonough, Candice LeRae, and Indy Hartwell. Everyone else from LWO and Legado del Fantasma, we didn't select any of those people, and Omos. Now, there's probably a couple. I mean, there are other superstars as well, obviously like Otis and Alpha Academy, and et cetera. But those are the most notable names undrafted. And Chris, since you did that for me with Kaiser, I think it makes a lot of sense. Since you have Dominic Mysterio, you should probably grab JD McDonough there as well.
Yeah. Yeah, they are kind of a tandem still, the two of them. I think that's fair. And that would also give me Priest, Ray, Priest, Dominic, and JD. You have Finn, but that's...
I have Finn and Rhea Ripley. No, I have Finn and Rhea Ripley as well.
Yeah, Finn. Yeah, I keep thinking, oh, Rhea's hurt. But yeah, you got... So we split up Judgment Day, but
we did.
I think having Damian yell things at JD McDonough would put him in a strong position. That's when Damian Priest is at his best, when he is hating on JD McDonough. Let me throw this out to you, actually, now that I think about this. We went 22 rounds. I think it's the most we ever went. What do you think about adding one free agent to both of our teams? Anybody outside of WWE programming? So AEW, New Japan, whatever, we get one. What do you think about throwing that? Like kind of like a wild card at the end of our teams?
I mean, we can do it. It's not reality. Like these people aren't available. And who gets the first choice? Do I get the first choice? Because you had number one overall.
Sure. I'll let you.
And I can choose anyone who is not presently signed to WWE.
Yes.
And we're not obviously including any of the part-timers that we already excluded from the draft.
Correct. I think it'd be fun. Like we don't need to do all of wrestling draft.
No, we're
like,
doing somebody, literally one person each or one team each or whatever the case might be.
Yeah.
It's tough because there's a lot of folks I like. So let me think through the brands that are out there. Obviously it's New Japan Pro Wrestling and everything else in Japan, All Japan, etc. AEW, clearly the main competition for WWE in the United States, TNA, Independence.
You could bring Edge back and do the greatest wrestling match of all time.
I have no desire whatsoever to bring Edge back. So I'll narrow it down between two people. I'm not going to say both of their names, obviously, but both are in AEW. They're both men in AEW. And they're both younger men in AEW. It's tough. It's actually a really tough call. And I don't know that they're the two people that you think they are. So it'll be interesting to hear who you choose.
Well,
and then,
you said young, so it's not.
Well, young meaning not old. Like, it's not Chris Jericho and Adam Copeland.
Not Edge.
And John Moxley. It's not John Moxley. It's like not those guys. So no, it's not Chris Jericho and it's not Adam Copeland. But if I'm looking
Jericho
at it from the
standpoint... You got Kevin Owens. Jericho would be fun.
Zero interest. If I'm looking at it from the standpoint of to make my roster and my brand as exciting as it possibly can be, then I'm going to choose Will Ospreay. He would be my free agent. I'd put him on. And you're just... I mean, every match is going to be a banger. I love his energy. I love his passion, the way he cuts promos. The fans are... They adore him. He's the most over person in the entire company. Maybe with the exception of MJF, who's not there right now. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I would choose Will Ospreay if I had a free agent and I could literally just sign anyone for any amount of money anywhere.
There's a lot of people in AEW I'd love to pull over. But to me, I'm glad you didn't pick him. Because when I thought of this, I was like, if there's one person in all of wrestling I could add to my team, it's this person. And with my free agent selection, I am selecting John Moxley.
Yeah, that's really good.
We've got the Shield back together. Roman, yeah. Seth, and Dean Ambrose on Raw to go with the Bloodline, to go with some of Judgment Day. I would have to go with Moxley. You got to put these three guys back together.
That's a really good choice.
When I went Roman Seth, I was like, man, I'd love to have if Moxley could come.
Well, what would you have done if I took Mox then?
I probably would have done... It would have been Ospreay or MJF. It would have had to have been. Those two guys, huge stars. Like, Mercedes is out there.
I don't have any interest in that.
She doesn't feel like a must-have.
No, no. Her shine is off. It's really strange the way that's happened. For me, it was Ospreay and MJF as top two. MJF built-in stuff with Cody on my brand and just the promo ability, the youth, like the whole deal with him, it makes sense. My other like top of the list would have been Swerve Strickland. Obviously, you guys know I'm a massive fan of Swerve. Mox was on my list, like in terms of in my head, the people I was thinking through. And also Bryan Danielson. The reason I did not choose Bryan, and like any other year I probably would have, is the guy told us he's retiring, you know, inside of the next year. So why am I going to take a guy like that when I can have a young guy like Will Ospreay, who's just at the top of his game right now? So it was a really tough decision between all of those guys. If we were looking at it from a standpoint of like just getting butts in seats and putting on the best matches in the next 12 months that I possibly could, then I would probably take Bryan Danielson over Will Ospreay. But we're looking at it more of a standpoint of like signing a free agent and making a big splash. Mm-hmm. For me, Ospreay made a lot of sense, and Mox for you, based especially on the roster that you have, makes a lot of sense as well. So
I think we're both very happy with what we got on our teams.
Yeah.
Top to bottom.
Yeah. I was going
to
say, we just went through the process and I'm doing a rough count here as I'm putting it together. We just selected, and this includes the champions that we already have, like 61 people on this roster. And there's that many other names left over that are people you want to see. If either of us, took Shinsuke Nakamura or Andrade or Bronson Reed, we're not arguing with that. Like, those are all people we want to see on our brands. So that would be a good, you know, not that we're going to do it because we've already gone so long just doing the draft itself. That would be a good exercise in terms of an undrafted free agent, you know, supplemental draft or something like that. All those names are people that deserve to be on WWE rosters and on TV and getting featured. And yet they still were not selected despite the fact that we did a 22-round draft and each of us had four superstars, including a team, obviously, that came with our roster just based on the brands that we chose. So I did think this was a great draft. This may have been, Chris, our most even draft yet. Now, I still believe I wiped the floor with you and my roster is way better. Yeah. In fact, our listeners will get an opportunity to tell us who won this draft. We will get to that in a moment, Chris. Let's first go over our rosters so everyone knows who the Silver King has, who Vintage has. And of course, when we do post this poll, we will publish a spreadsheet that shows the entire teams, and you guys will get to go and review them before making your selection. As far as the Silver Kings team, we'll just go over it one more time. Cody Rhodes enters as my WWE champion, Bayley as my women's champion, Logan Paul as my mid-card champion, and A-Town Down Under as my tag team champions. And you cannot take those for granted, either for myself or for Chris, because a selection was made to have that set of four and give up your set of four that you, of course, have and giving you the number one overall pick. But going down my draft, Drew McIntyre, CM Punk, Rhea Ripley, Gunther and Ludwig Kaiser, Io Sky, Kevin Owens, Finn Balor, Liv Morgan, Randy Orton, Tiffany Stratton, Naomi, Braun Breaker, Street Profits, DIY, Dakota Kai, Sheamus, Ilya Dragunov, Carmelo Hayes, Chad Gable, Zoe Stark, and Shayna Baszler, Dragon Lee, and then Caden Carter and Katana Chance. And I'll just wrap mine up by saying there's a lot of beef out there on the men's division, a lot of immensely talented women's wrestlers, a ton of high-quality tag teams, and a balance of youth with experience, as well as high-flyer, fast-paced, exciting wrestlers with meat slap and madness. I think I have as complete a roster as you could put together. I love all of the potential opponents for Cody Rhodes and Logan Paul in the main event and mid-card division, respectively. Love the way the women's division shaped up, and I think the tag team division is immensely strong. So I'm actually thrilled with my draft. Chris, why don't you go ahead and run down your new Raw roster?
My roster is Damian Priest, Becky Lynch, Sami Zayn, Awesome Truth as champs, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Jey Uso, Bianca Belair, Jade Cargill, LA Knight, AJ Styles, Jimmy Uso, Solo Sikoa, Tama Tonga, Charlotte Flair, Nia Jax, Rey Mysterio, Dominic Mysterio, and JD McDonagh, Chelsea Green and Piper Niven, Raquel Rodriguez, Santos Escobar, New Day, Bobby Lashley, Ricochet, New Catch Republic, Pretty Deadly, Tony D'Angelo. I am thrilled with what I put together, which was more of a strategic team rather than maybe best available or wrestling ability. Mm-hmm. I am thrilled with the stories I have. Everything from the Bloodline, including Sami Zayn, all these different people who were wronged by the Bloodline or Roman Reigns can get back into it. Damian Priest is my world champion. That is the weak spot, but flip him and Roman Reigns. Mm-hmm. Roman Reigns is my top guy. So everything was kind of built around him. You got Roman Seth. And if you want to pretend I got Mox, you can throw that in too.
No, we're not counting that. That was an exercise at the end. That is not counting.
I think my women's division is loaded with beef. You're talking Bianca, Jade, Charlotte, Piper, Raquel, Nia, and then Becky Lynch is the champion. I think my women's division tramples yours.
Oh, that's my a joke. Weakness, absolutely
my
not.
My weakness is my tag team division. I think when you look between the two, I think you have the better, you have more top level star power. I think you have probably better top to bottom wrestling and a better tag division. I think I have much better storylines, much better rivalries, and a much better women's division.
No, I mean, you have an existing storyline in the Bloodline. I have storylines that I need to put together, but guess who books the damn territory on this podcast? The Silver King. And you know why?
This is my show! My show!
So, yes, you have the existing Bloodline. I have seven different opponents for Cody Rhodes that make a ton of sense, and a lot of those opponents can fight each other in mid-card situations, etc. Women's division, look, I love Becky Lynch. You know I do, and love Bianca Belair. I go woman for woman with you, and I actually think I have a stronger overall division. Simple as that. My top three are Bayley, Rhea Ripley, Io Sky, Bayley being the champion. I have Tiffany Stratton sitting there, stole her from you as far as I'm concerned. I love my women's division. I think yours is strong. I don't think yours blows mine away. I think at worst, they're even. And I think I actually have a better one. So you can shove that. Tag team, I agree I'm stronger. I love the fact that you have the entire Bloodline. I also love the fact that you got some big pickups late in the draft. Let's go ahead and do each other, you know, we're being combative on purpose here, but let's go ahead and tip our cap to one another. Who do you think was my steal of the draft? And I'll tell you who your steal of the draft was.
I got two for you. Okay. Getting Randy Orton and Tiffany Stratton in the 9th and 10th rounds. Those are your best picks.
Okay, I appreciate that. So for you, I actually think they're lower in the draft, but that doesn't mean your picks higher weren't good. But I think your steals are Bobby Lashley in the 18th round and Ricochet in the 19th round. Like Ricochet, I know that he's not a great promo. Everyone talks about that. Ricochet should probably be a top 12 round pick just based on ability and excitement and the way the crowd pops for him. And Bobby Lashley, he's stuck in this go nowhere storyline and he's still massively over. When they come out, the entire crowd does that hand movement with him. That's how much fans love Bobby Lashley. And here he is going in the 18th round of this draft. It's ridiculous. So,
you know, it'll be a fun matchup that I don't know if we've had or have had in a very long time. Roman Reigns, Bobby Lashley.
They never did it. And that is one of the reasons why during this run of, you know, Roman Reigns as the undisputed WWE Universal Champion and Bobby Lashley was sitting there on SmackDown. Yeah. One of the reasons why this year was so frustrating with Roman not showing up is because what did he do? He had the Jey storyline. Then he fought LA Knight. And honestly, dude, I don't remember what else he did this year. Did he fight Logan Paul? Was that this year as well?
I think that was
at Night of Champions. That was Night of Champions on like 1000, right?
Yeah.
Those were his. Why didn't he fight Bobby Lashley? How could they not have thought to put that together, especially when they created that group, which easily could have gone after the bloodline? They could have had a whole feud over it. So unless they are saving that, and that was like the one opponent that they didn't want him to face because they want to make sure when he's champion again, they're able to do a Bobby Lashley feud and to be fresh. I really don't think they were thinking that far ahead. It was ridiculous that Reigns and Lashley never feuded while he was champion.
Yeah. Nope, totally. And I am ponying up the money from Netflix to make sure Roman Reigns is on my TV much more often.
I don't know that.
As Raw CEO slash
general. Yeah, I think you need to rework that contract. I don't think it's a money issue. I think it's a dates issue. So good luck to you getting Roman Reigns on your screen.
I just think, you know, I've got the Uso storyline. Like the bloodline is like three or four different storylines in one, really. Jimmy Solo, Jay Solo, Jimmy and Jay versus Solo and Tama, Roman versus all these Roman.
But again, you're working from the standpoint of you're working from the standpoint more of this is something ongoing, so I'm going to keep it going because it's good. Not so much from the standpoint of I need to build a roster for the entire roster. Like that's how I took it as Cody Rhodes is a new champion. He doesn't have any more ready built storylines because he just got out of one. And now he's entering a new phase of his career. So I had to draft from the standpoint of I got this guy who's the number one guy in the company right now. How do I make him interesting and compelling both as champion and not as champion? The Randy Orton feud with Cody does not have to be around the title. Neither does the Kevin Owens feud. Neither does the Finn Balor feud. Or all of them can be around the title. So like that was the standpoint I was operating from. And I thought I was immensely successful doing that.
And I built a lot of who can Roman face?
You had complimentary pieces.
We can do Roman Seth. We can do Roman Sammy. We can do Roman Jay, Roman AJ Styles, Roman.
We've seen all those though. Let's be honest. I mean,
well, we haven't seen Roman AJ Styles. I don't think.
I thought we did. Maybe
they were going to do it, but then they pulled them
out
to do LA Knight.
That's right. That's right. That's what happened.
Yeah. Yep. So, Roman Reigns, Bobby Lashley. And of course, Roman Reigns, Tony D'Angelo.
Right. The match everyone wants, the number one pick with Mr. Irrelevant.
So let's just say I get stacks and everybody to come with Tony. Imagine the bloodline, Roman at the head of the table and Tony on the other side. Imagine the heat for that.
I don't think people care that much about Tony D'Angelo yet, but maybe 9 months into your tenure, they might actually care about Tony D'Angelo and the D'Angelo family. We'll find out. Anyway, as noted, you all will get to vote for who won the 2024 WWE mock draft, the Silver King and SmackDown, or Vintage and Raw. We will post this poll to Twitter either later in the day or probably the day after our WWE mock draft episode goes live. That way everyone gets an opportunity to listen to it. We don't just want you reading the list on Twitter and then voting. We want you to hear our rationale and the entire mock draft process before we go ahead and have you take that step. But it will be available for you to vote on Twitter at Getting Overcast. So make sure when you see that poll go up, you vote. And of course, we will discuss it next week right here on the Getting Over Wrestling podcast. So with that, Chris, let's go ahead and wrap up this edition of the Getting Over Wrestling podcast with the last word.
So DJ, take the needle and just drop it on the record. What? We gon' have this popping in a second. That's why we always say the best cut last, to make you scratch and itch for it like fresh cut grass.
So Jason R. wrote in about 2 months ago, and I told you guys I was clearing out the notebook. I had a ton of stuff to get to, and I'm finally glad we're getting to this. He said, I feel like we can reasonably conclude that Triple H loves long title reigns. The problem with long reigns is that they don't make enough top superstars. And Roman's over 3 years as champion, you could argue he only, quote, made Sami Zayn and Jey Uso and obviously now Cody Rhodes. I don't think Gunther, Seth Rollins, or Rhea Ripley, or Io Sky have made any of their challengers into top men and women. Drew seems to have made himself. During the Attitude Era, the titles would bounce around and it elevated guys into the main event. Imagine if Stone Cold just held the title for 3 years straight. If Balor, Drew, or Sammy had beaten Roman and then lost the title back to him in 3 months, they're bona fide main eventers again. Spread the titles, spread the wealth, make more top guys. Your thoughts? So I actually gave this a lot of thought. As I said, I had 2 months to think about it. There is something to be said for this opinion, and it's interesting to address it now because unwittingly, between when you sent the email and when we're covering it on the show, all of those title reigns that we wrote or that you wrote about are now over. So you could say ending them all in such a short window was a bad decision in its own right. And I have argued that Gunther should not have lost the Intercontinental title to Sammy. But here's the real problem. If you break them down one by one, it actually is fair to argue that all of these long reigns ended, yet no one was actually elevated by beating the champions, or at least not that many people were elevated by beating the champions. Now, before I break it down, let me just repeat. I said you could argue this. I'm playing devil's advocate here in a large way, but I also believe some of it. So let's start with Reigns. Defeated by Cody, who was already the number one babyface in the company, but he was never champion. So I would say this officially made Cody, especially because a defeat would have ruined him, right, Chris? So check one for Cody. Rollins, defeated by McIntyre, who was previously a champion, and then he immediately lost it to Priest through cash-in. So McIntyre got a moment by beating Rollins, who put him over after. But given he doesn't even have the title now, I can't say he's more elevated today than he was going into Mania. He got a moment, he didn't get elevated. So that's an X. Then Priest, he didn't end a long reign, so he doesn't even count on this conversation. Bayley, already a multi-time women's champion. And while she never won a title at Mania, she had defended her title multiple times on it. So that's an X. Sami Zayn was already a three-time Intercontinental champion and was made last year, ending the longest tag team title reign. That's another X. And then now Rhea had to give up the women's world title without putting anyone over because she got injured. So that's certainly another X. So really, Chris, with Cody being the exception, 4 of 5 long title reigns ended without any new stars being made at the end. The other reigns lasted 316 days for Rollins, 245 days for Io, 666 days for Gunther, and 380 days for Ripley, though obviously, again, she is circumstantial. You add in Roman's reign, what was it, 1,316 days? That's all those reigns over 246 days, four of them basically a year long or longer, and two of them 2 years long or longer. But Jason's point is made. The most egregious of these, again, was the Intercontinental title, as I've said before. It's one thing to have long reigns and ultimately make them mean something at the end. But if you're not creating stars when those long reigns end, then really all you're actually doing are making the champions. But let me be clear, Chris, that is also important. It should not be overlooked. In these cases, all of these long reigns did make the champions. Reigns went from flailing in his career to the GOAT conversation. Rollins was completely reestablished as a top tier main eventer. And by the way, his reign also established the title itself. Rhea became the top woman in the entire industry. Gunther was turned into a legitimate main event level heel, and Io was totally legitimized after when she got brought up to the main roster. Initially, she wasn't even going to come. She was going to leave WWE. They turned her into a legitimate women's champion on the brand. So were all of these reigns perfect? No. WWE could have accomplished both making the champions and then making the new champions. Instead, they mostly achieved the former. So were the reigns wasteful? Also no.
Yeah, there's different ways to look at it. It's not just who beat the champion and did that make them, therefore the reign was a success or not. Like, that's absolutely not the way to look at it. Like you said, I think everybody was elevated by their reigns for different reasons. I also don't think Io's reign even counts as very long. I don't. SummerSlam to WrestleMania, to me, is not a long reign.
Well, 246 days. It's 2/3 of a year. I mean, it's pretty long.
But if you're talking Rhea, you know, a year, a little more than a year, Roman, 3 years, Gunther, what, a bit more than a year, all of them.
Gunther was 666 days. He was nearly 2 years.
Yeah. All of them were absolutely elevated. So by their reigns. Mm-hmm. The other question is, did those champions make anybody throughout their reigns, even if they didn't win? Mm-hmm. And this was a conversation we had, I think, like halfway through Roman's run, where we said, look, Roman's winning all the time and he's not making anybody, he's not elevating anybody, he's just wrestling Brock Lesnar over and over, you know, and that type of thing. But I do think the second half-ish of that changed things. Drew McIntyre was very much re-elevated again by being involved in a feud with Roman Reigns going to Clash at the Castle. Sami Zayn was hugely elevated.
Sami was made, no question.
Was hugely made by being in a feud with Roman Reigns. Jey Uso, not just his feud with Roman, but being with Roman for so long, with him and then against him, made Jey Uso into the main event. Jey Uso. LA Knight, he had a really good 2023, but when he got to be face-to-face with Roman Reigns and have a match with him, that established that LA Knight is a top-ish guy. And so I think that the second, and then obviously Cody, you know, for the reasons that she said. Mm-hmm. So yes, Roman, the Roman's historic reign made him, and it made a ton of other people as well. That's why, to me, it was a complete success. The Intercontinental, you know, was anybody made by it? All I can think is Chad Gable. You know, I try to even remember who Gunther even beat for half of for a lot of these reigns, and it's not, nothing comes to mind.
Yeah, there's Miz and Ricochet and Sheamus and Drew McIntyre, and you know, it's not bad. But
yeah, McIntyre or Sheamus. You're right, though.
Gable was turned into, okay, this guy can be a singles guy. That's why we wanted him to beat him for the title. That would be fully making him. But he did help establish him in a new direction.
Yes. And I don't think Rhea's reign made anybody outside of her.
No, it didn't.
Because she rarely defended it.
Yeah.
The only one you could make a case for would be Nia, because they got the main event to pay-per-view. But you could argue Nia beating Becky did more than losing to Rhea did for her.
That'd be the only one
you can make a case for. So it's different by them. Look, I grew up in the Attitude Era. I loved when we had whatever 12 different champions in 1999 or whatever it was. But you know, I am curious moving forward now if that changes. We just did a 22-round mock draft. The roster is stacked right now. Mm-hmm. And that gives WWE the opportunity now to start to, quote-unquote, hot potato it a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious if they will do that more. I don't think we're going to have another 1,300-day reign. We might have another year-long reign and stuff like that. But I think because ever since Triple H took over, everybody's over. You made a bunch of people through these long title reigns. Do they just go back to that, or do they start to shop it around a little bit? I think there is value in doing that now at this point. You could see Jaden, maybe not a Backlash, but it feels like, hey, maybe Jey Uso deserves a run at the World Heavyweight Championship, even if it's only for like a month or two.
Intercontinental, that's fine for him to get a mid-card title. He deserves that. Isn't he the world title?
I, look, the Intercontinental is, Gunther did a great job with it. It's, I'm talking world title leveler. I'm talking about
I'm not on board with Jay as a world champion.
Are all holding the title in 1999, like moving it
This
around.
Isn't 1999 though, it's 2024. Like, he's reestablishing this. I saw a lot of people, you know, they were talking about the women's championship match, the Battle Royal on Raw, and they're like, you know, WWE could do something really fun and cool and like put it on Chelsea Green. This is not WWE 5 years ago, let alone the Attitude Era. And yes, 5 years ago, Vince McMahon probably would have put it on Chelsea Green in that match. She would have held it for 2 weeks, and then someone else would have beaten her. Then they would have lost it 5 weeks later because they didn't give a shit about the women's division.
Yeah, so not like, that. Yeah, that's the other end.
And I know you weren't suggesting that. I'm just using that as an example of like, they are not, Triple H is not going to be doing that. Like, it's just that's not going to happen. Now, what I find interesting right now is coming out of all of those names having really long title reigns, you look at the champions now, the only one of them who should hold this title most likely for at least 6 months or longer is Cody Rhodes. Every other champion right now, they could lose literally next week and I would be okay with it. Now, I don't want that to happen constantly all year long, but if that World Heavyweight Championship changed hands 3 times over the next 12 months, I'd be totally okay with that.
Yeah. And it, like, that's what I was thinking, like, man, like maybe Nia wins the belt in that Battle Royal instead of Becky, but then maybe Becky wins the title at Clash of the Castle, mm-hmm. you know, like a couple months later.
Which would have been cool.
Do something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do some different things like that. Damian Priest, I don't know, man. He's someone it almost feels like he has to have a long reign to legitimize
no,
him.
I don't think they can do it.
Well, if you give him a short reign, like, he's done. Not done.
Not
like,
it doesn't have to be short, but it should not be longer than 3 months.
He's not a main event guy. He's your world champion right now. I'm not talking a year. I'm talking, you know, 4 or 5 months.
Oh, man.
Like, really establishing him as champion face of Monday Night Raw.
I mean, how long was Jinder champion for? I think 4 or 5 months. And, like, that was mm-hmm. way too long.
Yeah, but Jinder was awesome. And it totally made him. It's not. Where he could come back and fight Seth Rollins out of the blue. And we're like, yeah, okay. You know.
Yeah, I guess to a degree. I mean, so I'm looking at it right now. He had it for 170 days he was champion. Yeah, so over 5 months, yeah. Nearly 6 months. I don't want Priest having a reign that long. That's the best thing I can say.
Sure. But like, no, but like, if he loses that within 2 months to AJ Styles or something.
I would say 90 days, but less than 120 days. And I'm okay with it.
Biggie
had the title for 110 days. If you give Priest a run like that, I'm fine with it.
How many from now to the end of 2024, how many people do you think should hold the World Heavyweight Championship? Just a number. You don't have to give me the specific who's, but like, if we have 3 different champions, including Priest,
that's what I think. You're saying until New Year's Eve?
Yeah,
not so WrestleMania.
Priest has it, loses it to somebody, and that person loses it to somebody. We so have 3 different champions from WrestleMania to day one.
So see, that's interesting because we're already 5 months into the year almost. I mean, we're 4 full months into the year. So other than Priest, I would say 2 more. And if we said from now to Mania, then I would say 3 more. Like I wouldn't mind a new champion being crowned at the Royal Rumble, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I'm just looking up here. 1999 was wild, man. We had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 vacating.
Like, that 10, can't happen. 11. Like, that.
We had 11 changes in 1999.
That's
ending
insane.
With the Big Show. Yeah. It was Big Show, Triple H, Vince McMahon, Mankind, Stone Cold, Undertaker, Rock. Those were your champions in 1999. Like, could you see that World Heavyweight Championship go from Priest to AJ Styles to LA Knight? To Seth Rollins or
I could see something like Priest, Balor, McIntyre, CM Punk.
Yeah.
I think that's feasible. Punk wins it at Royal Rumble.
CM Punk probably at a WrestleMania.
I could see Punk winning it at the Royal Rumble, Seth Rollins winning the Royal Rumble, and then fighting at WrestleMania.
Yeah, that too.
And it takes that trajectory. So Priest gets into a feud with Balor. Balor wins. McIntyre beats Balor, 2 Europeans at Clash at the Castle, and then, or maybe Balor wins it at Clash at the Castle, and then McIntyre beats him somewhere else. McIntyre holds it all the way until Royal Rumble. Punk gets his win, and then Punk Rollins at WrestleMania. So that's why I'm saying two more this year before the end of 2024, and then one more before WrestleMania. I think between now and WrestleMania, four total people could hold that title, one being Priest, who currently has it.
It's been 2 years since we had two world champions, and let alone two who were regularly on TV, you know. So this is something WWE hasn't had in a while. It's something Triple H hasn't had since he took over. And obviously, Cody's got to hold that belt for a while.
Yeah.
But I'm very curious with that World Heavyweight title, do they start kind of hot potatoing it a little bit? It's possible.
And by the way, it's not just that. Like, we could very well have four Intercontinental Champions by the end of 2024. The U.S. title, as soon as it goes off of Logan Paul, which we expect to happen at SummerSlam, I guess that's already deep into the year. One or two more people could win that. LA Knight, we think, and then maybe one other person. The tag team titles could change hands six times. The women's titles could change hands three or four times. So I think we're going from an era of long reigns, establishing those people, establishing the championships, to now a situation where WWE can be much more fluid and exciting in the title changes. That was one of the big knocks on Triple H's booking last year. It was the fact that no one ever lost their titles. All of those people challenged Seth Rollins one after another. He had bad knees. He had a bad back. You know, this was going wrong. That was going wrong. And he still beat everybody. And for some reason, it worked. And no one really gave that much of a shit about it. But now that he is not the champion, yeah, Priest, you have to establish him a little bit. That's fine. But once he drops it, you can move on. Now that Gunther is not champion, Sami Zayn, now that he's champion, he can drop it at any time. It'll be fine. Awesome Truth could have lost last week and it would have been okay. You know, so there's a lot more flexibility. I'm real curious to see what happens with the draft, the way the rosters get built, and what that means for the titles. And maybe, Chris, after the draft, when we cover it next Tuesday on this show, we can discuss, okay, now we know who the rosters are, who can we see winning championships over the next year?
I agree.
All right. Let's wrap up this edition of the Getting Over Wrestling podcast. A great bonus WWE show for you all. I am so glad that we did it this way. A reminder, we have our normal WWE episode already in the stream. Do not miss our full breakdown of SmackDown and Raw from the last week. Obviously, we talked a ton of Bloodline, Becky Lynch winning the Women's Championship. We had a ton of great topics and a fantastic conversation. Don't miss that WWE show. And don't forget, we'll be back on Thursday with your next NXT and AEW show. And there's an absolute ton to discuss on that episode as well. On the way out, allow the Silver King to remind you that the Getting Over Wrestling podcast
is all about Defy.
So head on over to Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Leave a 5-star rating on Apple. Take a little extra time. Leave a 5-star written review. If you do, we will read it live right here on the show. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Getting Overcast for episode drops, news, analysis, highlights, all of that good stuff. And please also remember,
I happen to love the number 5.
And I hope you do as well, because for $5 a month or $50 for the entire year, you can become an official Getting Overhead. Just visit buymeacoffee.com/gettingover. Sign up. You will get bonus audio, instant reactions to all the major shows, and exclusive news posts every Friday. Again, that is buymeacoffee.com/gettingover. Thanks to Vintage Chris Vanini for joining your boy, the Silver King, Adam Silverstein. It is a 3-episode week here on Getting Over. Don't miss any of them. For Vintage, this is the Silver King signing off and leaving you with just 3 final words. Bye for now.